Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulged discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. They're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Drop Park. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com. RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Social media, please follow me over there while you can. Home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. HMB Radio on Facebook. I joined Parlay, whatever it is. Oh, my God. That is Boomer Con Central over there, boy. But hopefully it'll start to level out now that people are leaving Twitter and signing up. Maybe we'll get more of a normal folk on there. I hope so. I think I'm HMB Radio on Parlay. So if you get that, follow me there. I don't really have any immediate plans to post a bunch over there, but it's there just in case something happens and I don't know. The world's ending, so who the hell knows what's going to happen? 813-693-2124, voice and text line. Give me a shout, hmbradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from a bunker under MacDill Air Force Base. The Civil War is now hot. It is active. Anna's here. Hey.
What's up? How's it going?
It's going okay. I'm concerned about the near future. I don't know what's going on. The COVID is back with a vengeance.
It sure is.
I know the bars shut down entirely.
The headline was weird, though. It said no more alcohol consumption at bars, but you don't do anything at bars other than consume alcohol.
Right.
It didn't say the bars are closed, which was just, it was just a weird phrasing. And I was like, am I missing something?
Well, I think what it is like, so restaurants are not impacted. So you could still have something to eat. I'm trying to find the...
Can you consume alcohol at a restaurant?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
I think that's the only workaround, but like even breweries, food trucks, none of that. That just came down today. We're recording on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that just came down. And it was funny too. I went to go get lunch and I saw my daytime boss driving and he like rolled down his window. He goes, hey, I'm going to go down to the cigar bar. Come down and hang out with me. I go, no, you're not.
Are they going to wear masks at the cigar bar?
I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, he had no idea. And, yeah, that it just came down today. So, party's over, Florida. We're back. We're back in the house, man.
I know.
It's crazy. It's crazy. We did get a message. I want to play before I forget.
A voice message? Or
a voice message.
Okay,
yeah,
this is good.
Our friend Mike in St. Pete.
What's up, guys? This is Mike in St. Pete. I just wanted to call in and comment about what you guys are talking about this week. I thought that was a funny observation Anna made about how people are making jokes about what the left are going to do and they actually do it. Instead of how it used to be, it was reversed. You just kind of mock people. Now it's like pre-mocking and they do it. That's pretty accurate. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. I just remembered my point that aligns with what Anna was saying, that Trump did the same thing when they were advocating for taking down the Confederate statues. Trump was saying, well, okay, well, what's next? You're going to take down George Washington? You're going to take down Thomas Jefferson? And lo and behold, that's exactly what's going on. And I don't know why anybody's – I mean, I know the progressive left doesn't want to have a conversation because that doesn't go with their ideology. You know, conversations don't – you know, that's not what they do. They don't want to have the conversation. They just want authoritarianism. The people that are kind of like one foot in – you know, there are people that are kind of like, well, I kind of agree with them, but I'm not so sure. Those are the people you do want to have a conversation with because they might be somewhat reasonable. And I would ask, you know, the people that want to take down all these, you know, any images of our history and stuff, just ask them the question, is there any value from learning from our history? Because, you know, when the Constitution was made and it was a time of slave owners, you know, there had to have been a starting point and a change had to be made to where when Lincoln abolished the Emancipation Proclamation, there had to be a starting point for that. So if you erase that, isn't that putting in danger it happening again? There has to be value from learning from history. So erasing history is not beneficial. All right. Talk to you guys later.
A nice message.
There you go. Yeah, like thanks, that. Mike. I think my takeaway from this whole thing is conversation is done. I keep hearing people call in Twitter. You see Twitter and people calling in on shows and stuff, and they say, we need to have a conversation. And I don't think they understand that there is no conversation. The conversation is long done, you know?
Regarding the statues or just in general?
Everything.
Discourse, okay.
There is nothing, there is no talking. The people that they want to have a conversation with don't. They don't want to have a conversation. Like,
right.
This is the way it is, and you either do it or, I don't know, die or get out of here or what?
Yeah, I mentioned to you briefly before we started talking, I got a message from a good friend of mine who I've had for 15 years, met her in college. We've never really agreed politically. She's extremely political, you know, very much to the left of things. But my love for her goes beyond politics, you know. And it's one of those things where I see her posting stuff and I don't comment on it because I know we're just going to get into a fight and it doesn't matter. And with most people in my day-to-day life, I don't discuss politics with them because I like them and I want them to like me. But I made a post yesterday about it was a Newsweek post. It was two articles actually side by side, and one of them said this. On the left side you have it says, and this is Newsweek and it's the same day and then they're about an hour and a half apart. On the left it says, Oklahoma reports highest ever daily COVID cases after Trump Tulsa rally. And then on the right, again, the same date, 6/22/2020, it says, no evidence Black Lives Matter protest caused COVID-19 spike. So apparently this virus is very woke. So I put that on my Instagram and I just said, this is how dumb they think we are, with like a laughy face. And then she didn't like that. And she said that I was spreading fear and hate. And she said that, why am I doubting like health experts and all this stuff? And I said, listen, Chica, like, I don't think we should discuss this because I have a feeling you're not going to want to be my friend anymore. I literally said, I don't think you're going to want to be my friend anymore. And my love for you goes beyond politics. That's how I started it. And then she just, you know, she said, I get that, but, and then just like
kept
went
going.
In. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think you got to learn the phrase, I disagree and I have no interest in continuing the conversation. Boom. and leave it at that.
Right, but then it's like you don't want to lose either. You know, I'm like, if you want to get into it, we can, but I am fearful that she won't want to be my friend anymore. And I mean, not that we're super tight right now, but I have a great fondness for her. We had a lot of great memories in college together. And I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I mean, I don't feel like I am. If she thought that I was a little too on the right side of history, that she would cancel me from her life. And I don't want that
there's
to happen
movements out there.
I love her. I really do enjoy her. I love her as a person.
There's people, I've seen things on Twitter that like literally cancel your family, not even as a joke. Like if your dad voted for Donald Trump, don't talk to your father anymore. And they're serious. They're like,
boycott your family and friends.
Yeah. And this is totally how I almost got beat up over a meme.
I wanted to act surprised, but I feel like
yeah, I know the story.
I know the story, but go ahead and tell it.
It's out of control. I mean, we've gone from hypersensitivity to psychosis in a matter of weeks. And I had this dude I know. He dropped some knowledge on me about this historical figure who invented. Well, it was Jack Johnson. He says, you know who Jack Johnson
not
is?
Not the singer, folks.
Not the singer, the old boxer. And I said, yeah, of course. And he goes, hey, did you know that he invented the monkey wrench? And I go, no, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah. And they called it monkey wrench because he was black. And I went, what? Mm. No way. He goes, yeah. Yeah, way. Little history lesson for you.
Tidbit.
And I went, holy crap, that's crazy. All right, well, have a good day. So being a curious party and having access to Google and wanting to learn more about this because it was interesting, I found out. It's not true. Mm. It's a meme that went around on Facebook. So I found these articles from the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Imagery at Ferris University, I think it was, and some articles on this. And it was just a meme. It had a Snopes article saying, no, that's not true. And Wikipedia even said, no, it wasn't true. So I sent him this article. I go, hey, man, just a heads up. You know, this isn't right. And it got defensive immediately. And I went, uh-oh. This isn't good. And he goes, yeah, it is true. I went, okay, well, have a good weekend. Yeah. I'll just leave it there then. I didn't realize there was an immediate emotional connection to this factoid.
Response. Yeah,
that for whatever reason you wanted to believe. So I went, uh-oh, all right, well, I'll just leave it there. And I went downstairs, and he came storming out after me with his fists clenched. And like a little bit, like he was very upset, irrational, screaming.
In a rage, almost.
In a rage, and like, but it wasn't even a rage. It was like, he was sad, it seemed like, more than anything. Mm. Like, not, I mean, there was anger there, but mostly sad.
Sure.
And I mean, squared up with me, ready to fight over this thing. And I just went, whoa, holy hell.
How long has it been since someone like accosted you like that?
Like, got in my face to fight? Oh my gosh, I don't even know. Okay. I don't even remember the last time.
Yeah, like grade school maybe.
Yeah, it was high school maybe. Yeah. Or no, I think at one time in downtown when I was like 23 or something, some drunk guy.
That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I didn't really know, and I was so taken aback and shocked by this. But this is and that's what I mean when I say there is no more talking. Mm-mm. There is no rationality. It's pure emotion and just these, and I don't know why there's this drive and this want to make things worse than they already are. Mm-hmm. If you look back
Burn
on American
system,
history,
right.
It is bad. I mean, it was bad for a long time. There's a lot of good too, but there's a lot of bad mixed in there.
Right.
And like Mike from St. Pete was saying, you know, we should remember that type of history because if you don't remember it, you're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And you see what's happening now with toppling the statues and the lines are being drawn here. The battle lines are being drawn. And where do you stand on these things?
You know what an interesting factoid I found out recently, like in the last couple of days, is I think in Philadelphia they were trying to take down the Christopher Columbus statue. They've had a big issue with Christopher Columbus for a long time. You know who else wanted to take that statue down and any sort of effigy or idolizing of Christopher Columbus is the KKK. So in a weird twist of fate, the KKK and the far left are actually in agreement about something.
Right.
They're not a fan of him because he's like Italian. He's not Anglican. He was Catholic, not Protestant.
Yeah.
And they really want to hone in on the like American roots of like the Protestant white Anglo-Saxon person that came over here and got the country started. You know, again, that's debatable with like American Indian. You get it. But anyways,
Well, you find that overlap too, even now, with people on the alt-right and then like black separatists. It's kind of the same thing. Like they'll go, we want our own area. And they go, yeah, we want our own area too. So they'll like work hand in hand with each other.
They're both for segregation.
Right.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting?
Right. So they even though they want the same thing. It's just it's based off of their creed and their race and their color. But it's the same. Their goal is the exact same. It's not, there's no way you can do that. I mean, like no way you can just like separate people and have them go to certain areas. And I don't know how you would do that.
Collectively do it yourself and not integrate. I mean, obviously you're welcome to do that, but
how would you do that? Like ship everybody off?
Maybe not ship it, but it's like, I think it's instead of pushing people out, it's more drawing people in. Like, hey, we want a black city or a white city, or, you know, you pull people to you more than push people away.
Right. I know, like Professor Griff, that was his thing. He's like with Public Enemy. He was like their spearhead spiritual guide or something. Yeah. And that's what he was trying to do for a long time. But what would happen if you're mixed?
I don't know. I imagine this is a small sect of people who want segregation.
It is. It's weirdos on the internet.
Yeah. And I feel like I also want to reach out to the people. I know sometimes people listen. And it is really funny, Will, because if you were to just look at the mainstream media, or you look at Twitter, you look at Facebook, you think, wow, everybody like, you know, thinks Trump is a piece of S and everybody's like really far to the left, hardcore BLM. And, you know, and if you're not part of the cause, you're part of the problem and all that stuff. But honestly, and I'm speaking anecdotally, of course, but when I have conversations with people one-on-one, they really express their skepticism of everything that's going on. But because they feel like they have to keep it low key, it makes it seem that they're in the minority. But I feel like there's so many people out there that feel similar to how we feel, where we see what's going on with the defund the police, abolish the police, the rioters, the looting, the things like that we're seeing. And we're going like, listen, like we're all for equal rights and freedom and stuff like that. But we're starting to notice a trend, obviously, that there is a heavy narrative that is being pushed. And when you start putting all the dots together, you start to see the picture. And, you know, I hate to say that, you know, we've obviously both been red-pilled very, very hard. But if you don't take the media's word for it, like my friend was telling me, like if you don't trust the experts, then you're part of the problem and you're spreading conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm sorry, but at the beginning of this whole coronavirus thing, for example, they were saying no masks. A couple weeks later, you got to wear masks. Now you got to wear masks. And then Fauci even recently said that he purposely, he obviously didn't use lied, that word lied, but he said he said that you didn't need to wear a mask because he was trying to preserve them for the healthcare workers. That is lying to the public. So of course I'm very skeptical of the healthcare experts. One day ibuprofen is great for you. The next day it can kill you. We were told all along asymptomatic people couldn't spread, were spreading the disease. And then all of a sudden it was very unlikely. And now it's very likely again. So it's back and forth. You don't know who to believe. So when I'm skeptical, I'm not just skeptical of one side. I'm skeptical of everybody off the, across the board.
Yeah. When you got to remember too, you're talking to blue pill people who just swallow whatever the media throws out at them. They don't understand that the media is controlled opposition in a lot of instances. Right. And I went over a few podcasts ago looking at our, you know, local paper here at Tampa Bay Times. 60% of them are registered Democrats. There was 6% that were Republican, and then there was a lot of no party affiliation, which is probably what you should be if you want that job, even if you're lying. But a lot of them are just registered Democrats, so I don't know what the percentages of those people of how they lean that are not registered. Mm-hmm. And not saying you can't be a good journalist and be honest if you're a registered whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it naturally sways your bias, and I think that's it would be important to have a kind of equal amount. Like that might be a job where you ask like, where do you lean politically? Mm-hmm. So we can kind of keep an equitable amount of people in the newsroom to kind of make it more fair. And it's just not. And I see these Tampa Bay Times kids, they're little kids, and the media, especially the past few weeks, has been taken over. It's a college campus, these newsrooms. I mean, you had the New York Times incident with Tom Cotton, where he wrote that op-ed about sending in the National Guard to protect the monuments. Mm-hmm. They had a panic attack. They got rid of the op-ed. Philadelphia Inquirer editor was fired for saying buildings matter too. That he's gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the Tampa Bay Times, these little kids are following around these protesters, and they keep hammering it in. They're They're peaceful. Like they keep saying, and I think most of them are now. And I think St. Pete did a pretty good job as far as the protests of keeping it peaceful. Yeah. Like they had a few run-ins with cops, idiots throwing fireworks and stuff. And
right. And when you read, and I know you talk about this sometimes, but if you read the title versus the rest of the article, even obviously the article's biased, but just from the title where it'll say like, BLM activists, you know, shot at with rubber bullets by, you know, police. And you just see the screenshot of a police officer pointing it, maybe even at a kid.
Yeah.
And then you read and it goes, and it said, there's a statement by the police and they say, well, this guy was throwing Molotov cocktails and rocks and prodding us with like, I don't know, an umbrella. That was an example of one that I heard. Mm-hmm. And they were responding to those threats by, you know, dispersing the crowd with tear gas or firing back with rubber bullets to protect themselves and other people. So, I mean, it really is. And a lot of times people don't take the time to read the article.
No,
they look at the title and they go, oh my God, an activist that was brutalized by police. Look what's going on. And then they tell their friends. And I know we discuss this a lot, but the problem with trying to discuss, especially with people on the left, it's not that you're wrong. It's not that you're stupid. It's that you're evil.
Right.
You're, and it's like good versus evil. And I could even tell with the short discussion I had with my friend, she was like, she was basically telling me, you realize by spreading your rhetoric that you're doing harm on other people. Like you're hurting the country is basically what she was telling me. And I said, you know, with all due respect, you're allowed to voice your opinion. I don't say anything about that. I should be able to do the same. No, even if we disagree on the matter.
No, you shouldn't.
But apparently, you know, she said I was spreading conspiracy theories, and I go, I think I just listen and have a brain and I see what's going on. How can I trust health experts when they're flip-flopping literally daily, weekly?
Yeah.
It's making no sense. So I take everything, you know, with a grain of salt. I try to triangulate my resources. I do a lot of research. I know you do a lot of research. I don't have like a narrative in mind. I don't play for any team. I don't have my conclusion already mapped out and I'm looking just for data to fill in the gaps. Mm. I go, let's learn together. I told her, I said, all I want is truth and consistency. I have no team. So yeah, I've yet to hear back from her on that.
And many people do. And you saw that with NPR this week. And that's what a lot of these journalists do, too, is they start with their conclusion. They have their ending.
Backwards.
And then they work backwards.
That's bad science, folks. That's bad science.
It's not only bad. I mean, it's a bad way to do anything. But especially if you're reporting, you know, truth to people, allegedly.
In quotes.
So they had this I think it was in Tennessee, I think. I can't remember exactly, but they went, yeah, white supremacists are running over protesters. And you go, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, then they have used this video from an incident with, I think it was, I heard she was black, but then I heard she was Hispanic. It doesn't really matter, though. She got a gun pulled on her in her car, and she gunned it and hit a protester. So, I'm sorry, if you pull a gun on me and you're in my way, if I'm in a car, you're going to get hit.
Right.
Doesn't matter what color, gender you are, any of that. But they went with it, and then they go, oh, we used the wrong picture from an incident. And then they used the new picture that they used in order to prove their theory was Charlottesville, which happened in 2017.
Yeah.
And so that proves their theory that white supremacists are running over people. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. And this is not only like a CNN or something. This is National Public Radio News, which is publicly funded, that gets a check every year, gets greenlit every year. They need to pull funding from that goddamn organization.
Right.
They're not doing news anymore.
Right.
This podcast is brought to you by NTTFitness.com and NTT Nutrition. Now, what is that? That is a meal preparation service. It's good food, and it's good for you. You can get it delivered right to your door. Avoid the grocery stores right now. The corona's blowing up, man. Why not have your food delivered to your door? That's actually good for you, and it's tasty as hell. I eat it every day. I love it. You will, too. Use code LEVELUP15 at checkout. Get 15% off your first order. NTTFitness.com, LEVELUP15.
I wanted to kind of mention The Chicks. Have you heard of The Chicks? It's a new group.
The Chicks.
Yeah, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks. They changed their name yesterday, and I'm happy to report that racism is over, Will. It's That's done. Yeah, they solved it. They changed their name because Dixie, I believe, is like an endearing term for the pre-Civil War South, right? Dixieland, things like that.
I didn't even know if it was an endearing term. I thought it was just Dixieland was, I thought it was just like,
sounds like a
South,
magical place.
The South.
Yeah, I think underneath the Mason-Dixon line, and they're a country music group, so it makes sense, but they recently changed their name, and it's just the most useless move, folks. It makes no sense. You're not helping anything. You're just trying to get out of the line of fire, it seems. And were they under fire? I mean, maybe they, maybe they were. They were getting pressure, and they were like, dude, we're next. Like, we're about to get canceled, so let's get in ahead of the eight ball sort of a thing.
Maybe. I mean, you did see that with this past week. Jimmy Kimmel, Tina Fey, Jimmy Fallon, they all got out in front of some things that they said. You know about Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, I didn't know about Tina Fey, though.
Tina Fey parodied blackface in what's that show, 30 Rock? It was making fun of blackface, but there was somebody literally in blackface in some of her episodes. She had him pulled immediately. The news picked up on it, so now she's in trouble. Jimmy Kimmel, and when he was in his radio days, did a rap song with Snoop Dogg.
I think it was during the Man Show, maybe.
I think it was on radio he was on K-Rock in L.A., but he did a song with Snoop Dogg and used the N-word.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Same with Stern.
Stern,
that
too.
One was so bad, and that just because he plays for the right team, it kind of came out and then it left and it was gone. And I was like, "What the hell happened? Why isn't there more outrage?" Well, he's a heavy, heavy Democrat, and he hates Trump, and so they skirted that underneath
right
the rug, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and that's what you see from these things, and it's interesting to see who survives and who doesn't. And also, Stern is too big to fail. Probably Jimmy Kimmel is too at this point. Just so powerful in those Hollywood circles.
You think there are people that are uncancelable?
Joe Rogan.
I would say him for sure.
Yeah.
He would have to do something egregious, like yell at someone and call them the N-word or something. But
A video came out of him using the N-word.
Not using it, but I mean like in a Michael Richards kind of way.
Right.
Like,
but it doesn't matter
anymore.
It'd
be something like that. No, I know that, but that's what it would take to have him get canceled.
I don't even know if that would work at this point. He's so, as far as independent media goes.
I think he's an icon.
And now he's signed with Spotify. So he's under the microscope.
$100 million a year.
There are people desperately trying to get him for whatever reason. And he's very reasonable. He talks to people of all belief systems and brings them in.
He was a Bernie guy, and then he criticized Joe Biden or the left media. He said, listen, they're not reporting on Joe Biden's cognitive decline at all. 0%. I noticed that. I listen to CBS News because I love Gayle King. I don't see any. They don't even mention the gaffes. You have to go to Twitter for the gaffes. They don't talk about it on
CBS
News or CNN.
And why is that? You ask yourself, because if that was anybody else with an R next to their name, then they would be reported on.
Of course.
I saw today Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer got George Floyd's name wrong.
What did they say?
They called him George Kimball or something like that. And then George, I don't know.
Don't tell me they like call him like Tyrell or something.
No, it wasn't quite that bad. But yeah, that was just, if Trump said that, holy cow, would they be jumping all over that?
Oh, yeah, you'd be done.
So you wonder, obviously the reason why. But, they do it all the time. And with Joe Rogan, for example, he's just too big to fail.
Yeah.
So they're trying, and they've tried everything. In a week period, they had a video of him, of Joey Diaz, saying he used to have female openers, I guess, do sex acts to him, which is awful.
When was this? Or it
years
came
ago,
out,
years
but it
ago.
Came out recently.
They went through his archives, and I guess somebody found this clip of Joey Diaz talking about, how he used
to have... he was in the news. I didn't know why.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but also it's not like... I don't know. Like, he didn't rape them. They did it by their own
volition.
It was still terrible, what he did, saying, hey, if you want to do this, then you have to do this, and points to his crotch, So,
wait, was he joking? Because he's a comedian.
I don't think so. Okay. And they had video of Joe Rogan laughing about it. But that was a different time then. Like, obviously now that is not acceptable. And it's been made very clear that is not acceptable. And that's a good thing that that's no longer acceptable.
Right.
And then they had also a few days later, they had him a compilation of times he's just said the word. And it's just like.
On his podcast?
N-word. Yeah. Using the N-word. And it was never like hateful, could tell, but it was in context,
it was
still the word, which is automatically Like, you're done.
You're toast. Which is wild because I think this was 2019, 18. I can't remember. Recently, though, like that, those Netflix, or maybe it was just one Netflix exec was fired for saying the N-word because they were going, it was like during a meeting when they were talking about words you cannot say, presumably talking about like comedy shows about, you know, what can comedians get away with saying on Netflix. And unless you want to start talking in alphabet soup, he goes, well, you can't say this word. And then he said the N-word, and then he got fired for saying the N-word in a context that was anti-racist. Like, can we get away with, can we say this? Would this be okay for the public to hear or no? And just by saying the word, or the Papa John's guy.
Same thing, yeah.
The context was, I think it was in an anti-racist
context.
He said,
I don't want, because I think they were talking about having Ludacris or something be a spokesman. He goes, I don't want these rappers calling N-word this, N-word, and he actually used the word.
Right.
Saying, I don't want that.
In
but
an anti-racist, said the
word,
and he lost everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's another guy. He's made his money though. He's fine. Papa
I know, but nevertheless, like,
it's still
it's still terrible.
He lost his business.
Context does matter. It certainly does matter.
It doesn't, but it should.
It should. It should. But you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. Do you want to play a little bit of that Dixie Chicks?
So you said it's good, huh?
Honestly, I kind of like it. It's really, listen, the thing about this is they really threw everything all together. Like, it's, you got a little Black Lives. If you haven't seen it, it's called March, March by the Chicks. And they throw a little, you know, BLM in there. They throw a little gay rights in there, women's rights. They, like, throw it all in one big pot of stew. So it was kind of, you know, confusing. I guess it's just about progress. I don't really know.
Okay. So a little preface with the Chicks. You know, they were the Dixie Chicks. And they were big during big outspoken critics of George W. Bush.
Going
Remember
into
that?
Iraq, 2003, yes.
Right. All right. So let's, you said there's cursing in this?
I think it's, you can play it for a bit before any curse words.
March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. Oh, I'm an army of one. March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. Oh, I'm an army of one. Red is back in here cause she don't like Mondays. Underpay your teacher, police in the hallways. Print yourself a weapon and take it to the gun range. Oh, cut the shit. You ain't going to the gun range. Standing with him and our sons and daughters. Watching our youth have to solve our problems. I follow them, so who's coming with me?
Wow.
Not a bad song.
It's pretty good.
I kind of like the song. It's kind of catchy.
Not,
I don't know where I would play it. You know, I'm not going to shake my ass to it. Or
in your own car, jam out.
Yeah.
They want it to be like the anthem of all the protests going on.
And
yeah.
And honestly, when you see the actual official video, like, it is moving. Like, all the imagery and stuff that they have, it is a good video.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's a lot of that. The Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A. Mm-hmm. And there turns out that there was already a performer named Lady A who's been performing for 30 years.
Not
and
anymore.
It's a black lady. So they stole a black lady's name.
Way to go, white people.
Way to go. I mean, but this is the thing. They just step into it. That people are tripping over themselves to overcorrect for 300 years of history.
Was it an antebellum period? Was that the period? I thought it was after the Civil War.
It was pre-Civil War.
Was it pre? I thought it was after.
Yeah. And it's just a name. It's just like a noun.
Yeah,
like it's, but I guess they didn't want any association with that,
with the apparently. Civil War at all.
But it was just pre-Civil War South, is what it means.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just Latin.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Anti would be before, so that would make sense. But listen, there's everybody's upset about everything. Words that shouldn't matter do matter, and somehow that's going to solve the problem. When you want to dig deeper into the issues, it seems like I always hit some walls that nobody wants to talk about, you know?
In terms
of, like, what the actual problems are within, you know, we'll talk about, say, the black community, you know, in terms of what is really harming black people is other black people. And that's not even a controversial statement. Those are FBI statistics that people seem to not like, that if you look at...
you see how people react to reality. It's not good. I just told my story about an incident that I had. And that's what I'm saying. Like, don't even... I think it's just time to say, I disagree with you and I have no interest in continuing the conversation.
Then these problems persist, because what I want to really say is, like, to the people who are interested in, you know, the BLM movement and Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, is what about, you know, Chicago? What about Detroit? I mean, the same weekend that George Floyd was killed was the deadliest weekend that Chicago had in 60 years. 25 people, I think all Black, died in the city. No one talked about it, because it was at the hands of other Black people.
You know, and you'll say, you know, why don't you care about that? But they don't. I mean, it's not their, not that they don't care about it. It's just not the battle they're facing. They care about, well, it was said that it was about police brutality.
Right. But I mean, with the name like Black Lives Matter, you would think you would want to tackle the number one killer of Black people beyond even like diabetes or anything like that, is homicide. And people don't want to talk about that. And it's so weird, because it's like, don't you want to try to get to the bottom of that issue? Why is it that crime rates are so high? And to me, and I've said this before, I don't think it has anything to do with race and everything to do with culture. And people just, and I get that there's a lot of intersectionality. I get that. But people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to face the facts. And then when you try to have a discussion with them, they go, oh, well, you're racist. That's racist. And you go, oh, okay. Well, I was just trying to help. And I was just trying to get down to the root of the issue.
Don't help.
I'll just put a black square on Instagram and solve racism, or change my name and take out Dixie.
That's what I mean. I think it's time that we go our own ways. I think it's time to dissolve the union. And I'm not even kidding, unfortunately. I think people need to have their own, because it's not really, I don't think it's about, I always get mad when people do this, like breed into your hearts and minds. But, you know, you see interviews where there was one of the Black Lives Matter leaders said, if we don't get what we want, we're going to burn it to the ground. Yeah, and since has been decried and released from the group for that in their defense. But that's a big deal. That is terrorism. If you start burning everything down, the system down, if we don't get what we want, that is the definition.
And
of
what
terrorism.
Is it that you want? Like,
well, they have demands, and it's like they want police to be prosecuted for things. They want voting rights for jailed people that are in prison.
Right, like, but it's like, don't you understand that if you cause more violence, there's going to be pushback from the police, which will cause. I don't want to say it will cause, I would say, justified brutality if they're trying to control a situation that's getting out of hand. Yeah. And then you get more angry because they maybe kill more people, more Black people. And then the cycle continues, right? So it's cyclical.
And people, I've also heard a lot of people say this, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And you go, it's very logical. This has been something that's been cooking up for a very long time. This is very well thought out.
What's not logical? That,
like, just the things that they want, like having people vote from jail, or if you bring up any stats or something, and they go, nope, they don't want to hear any of those things. Yeah. So this is very well thought out, and it's all bred from the cathedral, which is the partnership between universities and media. Mm-hmm. So these kids go to the universities, get indoctrinated. The former students go out into the media and broadcast this nonsense that they've learned. And so you think that, well, this is just the way it is. This is the truth. Why would the news lie? And I think a lot of people look at the news like that and just go, well, the news is just the news.
Dude, I used to be one of those people.
I did too long time. And then I started to look stuff up when we had the internet. And
you go, wait a second.
It's not true.
Right.
And it just doesn't matter. Like, facts don't matter. Reality doesn't matter. This is a movement. Patrice Cullors, who's the Cullors, she's the co-founder of BLM. She did an interview. They dug up an old podcast with her. She's a trained Marxist, and there is ideological...
A trained Marxist?
Trained Marxist, yeah. I think I have that in
Marxist theory, or like the takeover?
I mean, it's a short clip. Where the hell's bookmarks?
Okay. Don't need to yell.
Oh, it's just frustrating. I feel like a boomer right now.
That's okay.
Analytics, topics. There's a thing called bookmarks where you can bookmark tweets.
And you're like Twitter master.
Oh, I'm not. Clearly not. I don't know what. Oh, bookmarks.
There it is, right in front of you.
Yeah,
face.
Here we go. All right, here's a clip. Luckily, I can edit out my buffoonery. This is from some weird podcast that I don't know when it was recorded, but here it is presented with little context.
There's a lack of perhaps ideological direction in Black Lives Matter that would allow it to be to fizzle out, and as he said, in comparison to Occupy Wall Street. As you are advanced in your own organization, as you all are headed to Cleveland to participate in this Black Lives Movement conference, how do you respond to that particular critique? Again, a loving critique from an elder of the struggle that some others share, that I've even shared as well, to be frank, as a concern about, in part because of the co-optation and the appropriation, that a more clear ideological structuring might be of some value here. But how do you respond to those kinds of, again, loving criticisms?
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
Yeah. So that's where you go, uh-oh. I mean, in my point of view anyways, mm-hmm. I don't align with Marxist beliefs. I think it's a scourge. And so then you go with a statement. They're really good with branding, though. It's just like Antifa, where they go, we're just anti-fascist.
Right.
So on the surface, when you say something like banal, like Black Lives Matter, you go, mm-hmm. yeah, of course.
Right.
But then they go, yeah, here, let me give you some literature here. And it's Karl Marx and how awesome socialism is. Right. And you go, ooh. Maybe and not. I think the plebs get kind of tricked into, you know, cause they just see that surface statement and they go, yes, of course, I'm with
equality
you.
Equality.
So then they go and march the
it's
streets.
It's great branding. And I do have to, I mean, you got to hand it off to the left for like, in terms of marketing and branding and fetishizing these ideas, they do a fantastic job. Because who would be against Black Lives Matter? Who would be against equality? Who would be against compassion? Oh, just a racist a-holes, you know, and then you're left like, well, am I? And then you start questioning yourself. You're like, well, I don't agree with that, the way what they're speaking. You know, does that mean that I am what they say? And the answer, folks, is no. Mm. No, you are not. You are not a racist if you just happen not to be a Democrat or you're not on the left or you question things that the Democrats say or the left says, the regressive left especially. So I feel like a lot of those people, to be honest with you, I feel like if you sat down with a lot of those people and you really kind of just sussed everything out, you would probably have a lot more in common than you think. But they are, you know, again, they're kind of just parroting things that they've heard on left-wing media or on Facebook or things like that because they just don't want to dive any deeper.
Yeah, it's very superficial. It's really evident. And even, you know, when I talk to some of my friends about what they believe in, it's very superficial. It's just like, I think Bernie is nice. And like, I go, yeah, I suppose so. He's like, he wants people to go to college for free. And I like that. But they never really dove into it. Like, I remember talking to a friend of mine who's a really smart guy. And he was initially on the Bernie train. I go, and he's in finance and stuff. I go, what about his economics? You know, like, you're a finance guy, right? Like, and he looked, and I go, just look into it, would you? So he did, and then he goes, yeah, I got to find somebody else that I can kind of support. And he's like, what do you think about Pete Buttigieg? And I go, he's a CIA operative, but... The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by TruV Salon and Spa. TruVsalonandSpa.com. TRUV is in Victory. Y salonandspa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in good old St. Petersburg. You can still go get your nails done, get a haircut. You got to wear a mask, but no worries. You can do that. What's the big deal? Stop being a wuss. Make your appointment today. TruV salonandspa.com. I mean, they're all bad options, and that's another thing. It's like, and people are playing this game of, well, you got to pick one or the other. No, you don't. You don't owe any of those two men your vote.
No, you don't. I think I'm going to, though. I think I'm going to vote.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. I get it. And listen, here's the thing. Is like, I'm going into it not saying one is like when people are for, say, Biden or Trump or Bernie, like they look at that person almost like a moral leader. Like somehow you have to look at that person and go, this person is a moral person. They do the right thing, sort of a thing. And I'm all about who's going to do the job the best. Like I don't really care. I mean, as long, hopefully he didn't murder anybody, but you know what? Probably they did. I tell people all the time, like, politics is a dirty game. In order to succeed in politics, you're going to have to do a lot of dirty stuff to get to the top. Sorry, but that's just the way that it goes. So where do I think that, you know, whose policies align best with what I think is best for the country? That's who I'm going to vote for. Not because I think they're a nice guy. Not because I, you know, they say asshole country or, you know, they have gaffes or whatever. Like who's going to be the best man, woman, baby for the job? That's what I'm looking for. Not, I don't need someone to be a moral compass for me, if that, you know what I mean?
Right. And I don't think the trajectory we're going on is going to stop with, if, for example, Joe Biden wins the presidency, like we're going to go back to normal. You can't get the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. Mm-hmm. I think people are forgetting that Trump people are not going away. There's 60 million of them out there. And he's already said if he loses, that it was rigged. He said that out loud. So if he loses, you got 60 million people, many, many, many of them gun owners. I'm afraid of what's going to happen from that point on. And we're not going to get back to normal. It's only going to get worse. And that's why I really hope that we can just go our own ways peacefully.
Really? You think that there will be a secession of some sort?
I think so. I think we have to come up with some sort of
two-state solution.
Yeah. Or I don't, you know, personally, I'd like to go back to the Federalist type of system where you have governors or kind of run their states like little countries. And that's the way it was supposed to be anyways, wasn't it? That the states kind of, you know, states' rights thing? And
yeah, then, but I mean, we are the United States of,
yes,
you know.
But we're united in like maybe like, you know, where we share a defense or something. Yeah. And we trade freely with each other. But you can kind of live where you want to.
Kind of like the EU works, where you have a lot of those European countries. Everybody's using the euro, but they're their own separate country sort of a thing.
Well, I think the EU is one thing now. Yes, they have border. Now, the coronavirus pandemic stopped that in its tracks. Now, everybody wants borders again since the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, they have borders. I mean, you're in France or you're in Spain.
But you can travel freely.
Of course.
If you had an EU passport, you could go to Italy and Germany and hop
around.
Sure,
absolutely. But I mean that they're their own countries in terms that they do have borders.
They are, but they answer to the UN board. There's like a board of commissioners or like a city council type thing, and that's who they have to go through. They
sure, but I'm just kind of relating that to maybe your idea of what America could be, is like a series of 50 small countries.
50 small countries that kind of do their own thing are going to be ideologically different, and if you feel certain ways, there's probably a state for you where you can kind of go live in and see how it goes and test your might, you know?
It would be really insane, but I mean, not out of the range of possibilities if we were to have another civil war of ideas, and it results in the separation of the union. You know what I mean? Like you fought to keep us together, and now we're fighting to separate. So.
I think we are in the civil war right now, currently.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see, like, it's kind of like a cold war, and it's mainly fought online, but you see skirmishes break out, like Chaz, like the rioting, things are on fire. But they weren't as bad as, like, even these riots weren't as bad as, like, the L.A. riots back in the early 90s. And certainly not as bad as back in the 60s and the revolutionary times. I mean, like, those were really,
really riots. Of course, but the thing is here is that there have been riots or protests, at least, and riots in most of those 50 states. There's been protests in every state. So it's like even within the state, there's a lot of division, you know, in between, like, say, mostly the rural and urban areas.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, and I'm looking to get the hell out of the city. I'm done. I wanted to live in a big city half my life and then retire out to the country, but I'm gonna look for even Palmetto or like south of the Skyway, get some land. I had a friend who moved, went to, I think she's in Manatee County. She's got a 30 acre little farm that she lives on now.
You want to do that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I can still, it's close enough that you can still travel to work. With this piece of machinery, I can patch in, you know, and do my job that way if I need to. I could work remotely from my day job. I mean, there's just ways of doing that. But I'm very concerned about being in the city,
especially
and being
after
a city
your episode that we talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah. I was like, thank God I wasn't carrying at that point.
Really?
I mean, like, you know, what would have happened?
Right.
It could have knocked it out of my pocket and found it. And then it's free for all. I mean, it would have just been bad.
Yeah,
it's very concerning. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I think I'm done. I want to get a motorcycle anyways, so that would be a good excuse. I could ride a motorcycle and
live out in the country.
Live out in the country, yeah.
Like Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah. To shutter all that away and start over anew for some reason, which I think
You got to remember what happened.
You got to remember what happened. Otherwise, it's going to
repeat itself. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's it. That's all the time we have this week. But thank you to Homemade Podcast for being a sponsor. If you're interested in podcasting but don't know where to start, whether it's hardware, software, RSS feeds, any of that good stuff, I can help you because I'm doing it right now. So check out homemadepodcasts.com. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. Please subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, just put in HMB Radio. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you very much. Please tell a friend about it. If you want to throw some money in the tip jar, go to hmbradio.com/donate. Figure out how to do that. No pressure. Just saying, it's there. Okay? My name is Will Kuntz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Talk to you very soon. Take care.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.